Dirty Moderates, it's not playtime in America. It's high time in America that we all get real and ready to stand up for democracy. Super Tuesday is over. Donald Trump, he was always going to be the nominee, but Donald Trump is the nominee, which people like myself have been saying since he was defeated in 2020, even though he never conceded. He was always going to be the nominee. All of this performative nonsense, all this showmanship with all these other people, as great as it would have been to have Nikki Haley or Chris Christie, not Ron DeSantis, not Vivek Ramaswamy, but a viable center-right alternative to Joe Biden, a place where dirty moderates could potentially shack up, at least temporarily. Nope, it was not to be, because it is Trump versus Biden, and that is the same thing we have been saying here on this program as long as this podcast has been in existence. And it's time to get real. Okay, let's not ever think this isn't real. It's March. Okay, we've got 11 months till the election. This is going to get nasty. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get vicious. And it's going to be more polarizing and divisive than I think anything we've ever seen. Already, on the heels of a victory last night, where Trump is already calling for debates with Biden. He never wanted to debate Biden. Now he wants to debate Biden. Didn't want to debate his GOP opponents. Of course, he probably didn't have to because the nomination was his. And why even risk that? Though, can you believe this is the third time? Third time, Donald Trump, folks, is going to be on the presidential ballot. Now, for those people who love history, the only person to win two non-consecutive terms was President Grover Cleveland in the 19th century. He was a Democrat. Democratic Party was different then, but that's the only time that this has happened. There have been repeat nominees, famously in the 20th century, right? Well, of course, Roosevelt ran four terms before there were term limits, but Adlai Stevenson was the Democrats' nominee in 1952 and 1956 against Dwight Eisenhower. He lost both times. He had been governor of Illinois, and he was their standard bearer. So it's not like there's no precedent for this. But there is no precedent for somebody who disdains the rule of law and the very foundations and institutions which really make us America. There's nobody that ever could fall, be characterized like that, other than Donald Trump, or fall under that rubric. That's what makes this moment so unique. And don't think for a second it isn't unique. Don't think for a second that you can rest easy. Don't think for a second that Trump can't win. Trump can win. I am the first to say the fundamentals favor Joe Biden because he's an incumbent, because the swing states, there's a foundational wall up against Donald Trump. Donald Trump is at a 46% ceiling, really, assuming there's no third party. That's what he got in 2016, 2020. But anything can happen. Joe Biden, God forbid, could take ill, not be able to properly campaign. Something could happen. Donald Trump could increase his popularity. I mean, he has made significant inroads to the working class community, white, black, and brown, men especially in the Latino community, black votes. Okay. And let me be clear about this. Joe Biden will carry the majority of the black vote. This gets lost sometimes in the chattering class when, you know, you see an interview, which is real, let's say a black barbershop, which I saw recently, where people were voicing their discontent over the economy and Biden's policies. I have disagreements with Biden's policies. By the way, that doesn't mean the majority of black voters aren't going to back Joe Biden. Why do I say that? Because that's just the historical trend among marginalized or disadvantaged groups. But what is changing is the fact that some of that support is bleeding. And Biden's going to have to stanch the blood somewhere else. Okay. It is a reality, talked about in this program, that the Democrats have become the party of the college educated and the Republicans are the party of the non-college educated. I don't say this to smear. I don't say it to lie. I don't say it to divide. It's just what's happened. So non-college educated voters are tilting right. And it's not just white voters. What once was a movement, I don't want to say that it isn't still a movement about white rage and anxiety and all sorts of demographic panic, has now an element that's a little more diverse in it, of people who are feeling the sting of you know, our post-COVID world, which largely Joe Biden has steered us through in a very, very, very productive and successful way. And an honorable way. He was left a mess. He was left a country where people were dying by, the hundreds of thousands. He got the vaccine. Of course, Trump started the vaccine. That's true. But, he put stimulus in. He got infrastructure bill passed. The CHIPS and Science Act went through. There's a lot of accomplishments here. And this is very important, that to connect to people this time who know Donald Trump, he is a known commodity, which is why it's so scary that he could be viable again. They know him. But remember, and even though there was a higher turnout in 2020, where 66 million or something like that voted for him in 2016, about 74, 75 million voted for him in 2020. And yeah, he still got the largest percentage of white women, and he did actually peel off some of the Democratic support from the Black and Latino communities. Well, that is happening again. It's happening again. And it's happening in bigger numbers. There's a lot of discontent out there. All of this to say that those of us who form what I often refer to, and I borrow it from the Iraq War when George W. Bush called America's allies a coalition of the willing has to be people that are not here for playtime in America. And that means high time in America involves all of us. We have to be Democrats, Republicans, progressives, independents, never Trumpers, conservatives. What I mean by that is we all have to be on Team Blue because those are the choices. Okay, this is not an a la carte election. You're not at a country club buffet where you don't want the tomatoes today and you want the red peppers and maybe you'll have the turkey. Nope, it's Biden versus Trump. Okay, that's all you got. You got two flavors and you got to pick one. Not picking one or staying home is a disaster for Biden. Trump is counting on that. Trump is counting on the apathy of the system, which has made people mistrustful and deeply skeptical and apathetic. He's counting on people to both come out for him and not come out for Biden. Okay, but all of us have to get under one roof like we did in 2020. It's not the easiest coalitions. We're all not going to agree. But we all are going to be unified by a common set of principles. Respect for the rule of law, belief in NATO. Right? Belief in our judicial system, belief in the peaceful transfer of power, belief in all of the norms and pretexts which animate, undergird, and become urgent for America's future, America's safety, protecting these. And you know what? Building on these. When Lincoln said we're working toward a more perfect union, that meant that we will always be trying to better what is essentially a document of freedom that failed a lot of people at the outset. But through our history, our young, young history continues to offer a better life for most people. That's why people want to be here. There's a reason. That's why people know that America still can be a haven of hope, not a nest of fear. Why this country can be on its back feet, as it has been so many times in history. Fought a revolution to break away from England. We were riven and rended apart in a civil war, which cost 700,000 Americans their lives, brother against brother. We had two world wars in the 20th century. Obviously, those weren't, on our home turf. But we had a very turbulent period in the 1960s with a Vietnam War and Watergate and the Civil Rights Movement and the Women's Rights Movement. All of this, the assassinations of JFK, 1968 RFK, Martin Luther King. Yeah, a lot of our, what you might call the merchants of hope, were gone, were taken, were murdered, okay? By people who wanted to see America divided, by people who wanted America to be a place of division, a place of exclusion, a place of ostracism, a place, limited to the very few. And America continues to evolve despite these setbacks and these impediments and these frustrations and these challenges. And we've done it before. The country came together to defeat Donald Trump in 2020, and we have to do it again. We can't look at this election as I'm tired or I don't want it or Biden. Yeah, Biden's old. I say it all the time. He's too old. But his age doesn't matter more, okay, than Trump's insanity, contempt for the rule of law, contempt for his own people. He hates his own people. You know, those people listen to this show who may have been in MAGA or may have voted for Trump, and now you've really not, you've learned and you're not doing it. And hey, we welcome everybody. I'm glad. Everybody can change. You see that he doesn't like you to begin with. And his policy accomplishments are nil. But for a tax cut for the very wealthy, he didn't do anything. He didn't build the wall. Okay. He may have given right-wing evangelicals their judges, but he didn't restore America. By the way, all the tariffs he slapped on China, we paid for. And by the way, this isn't said enough. Donald Trump wants a 10% tariff on all goods in America. Do you realize the kind of broad-based, punitive working-class tax increase this would be? A middle-class tax increase. I don't know why this isn't getting, now again, we're going into the general election campaign now because Haley's out. It's clearly Biden, and it was always going to be them, but now it's, you know, as I said, it's going to be, you know, another 8 months of campaigning and fighting and speechifying, but all that, we got to put all that aside. And we have to understand, and I say it all the time, your policy differences can remain policy differences. Your disputes over any issue that used to just be a simple disagreement in American politics is now existential. Now there are lines in the sand about the way we live now, the way we have lived, what we have achieved, and the way we should live. I don't mean that in a self-help way. I mean, when I say the way we should live, we have taken so much for granted because our institutions, our guardrails have never been tested to this extent. They've been tested. Again, 11 states seceded during the Civil War. Okay, our early founders had a lot of animosity toward each other. Partisan newspapers had been a thing ingrained in the American discourse and American world of journalism and news since the beginning of time. You know, we've always been many countries in one. As we've grown, we've become more countries. And you could say we're 50 countries. So, and I'm not here to say that we've never experienced as a country really formidable challenges. We haven't. I again, none of us lived in that time, but this is a time, an existential time, because we know who Trump is. We know what he's done. Again, he's already a known entity. Scary that he's a known entity, and that he's still in many swing states, polling even ahead of Biden. Now, again, we're still far out. For those that are obsessing over polls, you know, not just the Hillary year of 2016, right? You're going back, you know, I'm sure you have a fond memory of President Dukakis or President John Kerry, right? Or President Hillary Clinton. You know, all those people had formidable leads at one time and did not win in the presidential election year that they ran. So there's that. But it's time to stop fucking around. One advantage of what's going to be a very long 8 months is that everybody can start focusing now and not, you know, traditionally people tend to focus on this stuff after Labor Day. You can't be doing that. And you got to get people out to vote at vote.org. We've always said that in the, you know, last two election cycles. But you got to get motivated and ready. And I know a lot of you go, oh, guys, to get motivated for Joe Biden. That feels like, you know, that feels arduous or like a slog. Okay, well, you know what? Nothing will feel arduous or more like a slog or more painful or more thwarting, I should say, than a Trump 2.0. Very important that we say this after Super Tuesday. Mitch McConnell is the retiring Senate Majority Leader, okay, who said after January 6th he couldn't support Trump. Then February of 2021, like 2 months after, 6 weeks after that, whatever it was, said, oh yeah, I'll still support the nominee, has been called an old crow, every conceivable name, MAGA's turned against him, his wife Elaine Chao, who had served in the administration for Trump, was called Coco Chow, all sorts of racist insults hurled at her, and not unlike Ted Cruz, who ended up saying that Trump was a complete pathological liar, and Trump said that Cruz's father tried to kill JFK, I don't remember that, and that his wife Heidi was ugly. Well, now Mitch McConnell, who is leaving office, he's not even in Bauer. Mitch McConnell is going to has endorsed Donald Trump. If I said it to you yesterday, you would have said, why would he do that? He's leaving power. This is the problem. This is the stranglehold. This is why when people say, you know, cults are going to cult. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about really awful stuff, which McConnell was nothing to be proud of. He aided and abetted a lot of the undermining of our institutions, but he could have left by not doing this. And yet he still did it. And he's retiring from the Senate Majority Leader. He's not going to run for another term. He was reelected in 2020. So he's got two more years on this term. He's not going to run, I don't think. And that's what he did. So here we are, right? Wednesday, March 6th, as I report to you, a day after Super Tuesday. Trump swept. Haley's out. Mitch McConnell's endorsed Trump. Joe Biden has made a very important overture. And I'm going to end with this. Joe Biden has made an overture. Okay. And I want to tell you what he said. This is very important outreach from the Biden campaign today. All right. It takes a lot of courage to run for president. That's especially true in today's Republican Party, where so few dare to speak the truth about Donald Trump. Nikki Haley was willing to speak the truth about Trump, about the chaos that always follows him, about his inability to see right from wrong, about his cowering before Vladimir Putin. Quote, Donald Trump made it clear he doesn't want Nikki Haley's supporters. I want to be clear, the president said. There is a place for them in my campaign. Here's the takeaway. Big kicker. Very important, folks. Listen up. I know there is a lot we won't agree on, but on the fundamental issues of preserving American democracy, on standing for the rule of law, on treating each other with decency and dignity and respect, on preserving NATO and standing up to America's adversaries, I hope and believe we can find common ground. We all know this is no ordinary election, and the stakes for America couldn't be higher. I know that Democrats and Republicans and independents disagree on many issues. That's very true, right? And hold strong convictions. That they do too, myself included. That's a good thing, Biden said. It's what America stands for. But I also know this, what unites Democrats and Republicans and independents is a love for America. As I said, it's not playtime in America. It's high time to mobilize on behalf of this very unique, very young, exceptional country, which is the only country not founded on class or feudalism or aristocracy, and the only country that has been able to be this sustaining and this strong as a self-government ever in the history of governments. We the people, the most successful experiment in self-government that the world has ever known. So the question is, do you still love it? Do you love America? And do you love what we've done? If you do, you have a choice, because it is America or Trump. You can't have both. It's America or Trump. Nope, you can't have both. Folks, thank you for joining me on special post Super Tuesday. Stay dirty, stay moderate. We have a lot of great content coming your way. In the meantime, stay safe, stay dirty, and stay moderate. Thanks for listening.